Please take your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Today we have a special service. Today we'll be celebrating something special that the Lord Jesus gave us to remember him by, to remember the price he paid for us, and that's the Lord's Supper, celebrating our Savior. Let's begin our reading in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance in the service, in the message, in this special remembrance supper. Lord, I just thank you for this picture, these elements that you've given us as a reminder of the great gift that's been given to us. You gave yourself, your body, your blood were given to make atonement for our sin. When you went to the cross, yes, indeed, you carried our sin with you there. What a blessed thought this is. What a glorious redemption we find even in this very painful and sad situation. But Lord, we're thankful for your love displayed and for the victory through Christ over sin, opening the way up for us to have fellowship with you, communion. And Lord, I pray that today believers here would also be able to have fellowship and communion with you. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. A celebration of our Savior. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance given to the Lord, to the Lord's people, given to the local church. God has given us two ordinances. One is believer's baptism, where one who has trusted Christ will follow the Lord in his example of baptism and will be immersed in water and will be raised, as it were, in picturing the death with Christ and our resurrection to new life. It pictures salvation and it emphasizes the death of Christ and our death with him. The Lord also has given us the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. This is given to us to remember also his death. His death, to remember the price he paid, the blood he shed. This celebration supper is a time of remembrance, as the Bible clearly says here. Notice verse 24 in the last part. It says, "This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25 also says a similar thing, to drink the cup in remembrance of me. Here is an artist's thought of what that supper may have looked like. And again, it's just an artist's imagination. But nevertheless, we're reminded that on the night before Jesus would be betrayed and the next day nailed to the cross, Jesus had a Passover meal. It actually was the Passover celebration, remembering God's deliverance of his people out of Egypt, when they would to kill the lamb and to put the blood on the doorposts of their house. God told them to celebrate the Passover throughout their generations. And Jesus met with his disciples on that evening and celebrated the Passover with unleavened bread, with unfermented fresh fruit of the vine. They celebrated the Passover as prescribed. And so in this celebration, Jesus instituted something new covenant, new testament, something that was about him and our fellowship with him. And here to his disciples gathered round, he gave them this visual reminder of what was going to just happen very soon, as he would give his life on the cross, as his blood would be shed out as the Lamb of God. He gave them this reminder. You see, they hadn't seen him die on the cross yet. They had just seen him heal. They had seen him teach, heard him teach. But soon they were going to see him die. And he gave them these symbols to remember the price he paid. In just a short while, those disciples were going to see his body bruised, broken, whipped, scourged, humiliated, and bleeding. In just a few hours, his disciples, John records this, we're going to see him hanging in agony on the cross for 6 hours in the afternoon in darkness for much of the time. In the broad afternoon, they were going to see a soldier come. And the Bible says, with a spear, come and pierce his side. And forthwith, there came out blood and water. As Jesus died for our sins, the disciples had already been given this memorial celebration, this memorial supper to remember the broken body of their Lord, to remember the blood that flowed from his body. As we read the passage here, we're reminded very, very clearly that this supper is not only a memorial supper, a remembrance time, but it is a time for believers and only for believers. It is not a means of getting saved. It's not a means, it's not a way to accept God's grace. No, not at all. It's not a way to receive forgiveness. No, not at all. It is for believers who are right with God. It's for those who have not only trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, but those who are walking in fellowship with their Father. The Lord's Supper does not take away sin. In fact, the Bible warns us that if in sin we partake, it brings damnation on ourselves, not discerning the Lord's body. And so it is for believers. It is a special remembrance for those who know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Secondly, it is a picture of Jesus' death for our sin. It is a picture of Jesus' death for our sin. We're reminded of what John said when he saw Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 29. He pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We're reminded of his body at this memorial. The Passover was to be celebrated with unleavened bread. No yeast, no leaven, no fermentation in the bread. And the matzah is kosher even still today for Passover. And it is a picture. This is just bread. This is just a cracker, if you will. But it's something that God gave us to remember. To remember his broken body. That he was broken for us. Even the piercings remind us of how his body was pierced. And so he gave us the unleavened bread. Because Jesus is sinless, there is no sin in him. Though he took our sin, he himself is sinless. And so the appropriate symbol is the unleavened bread. Please notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says here about Jesus. It says, "And he hath made him," that's God the Father, "hath made Jesus to be sin for us." Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, who knew no sin. And so the unleavened bread, the bread that did not rise, the bread that hadn't that yeast in it, is the appropriate picture. And that was what they celebrated at Passover. It was prescribed in Exodus chapter 12 of other places. But Exodus 12 prescribed there the unleavened bread, that there would be no leaven, both in the bread as well as in the juice. Isaiah 53, let's go over here. The prophet Isaiah prophesied of the Lord Jesus, of that broken body. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." What a beautiful picture. What a unique allegory. So we have the unleavened bread picturing his body, which was given and broken and pierced for us. But then we have also the fruit of the vine, grapes, the blood, if you will, of the grapes. The grapes are squeezed and the blood comes out, juice or wine. That blood comes out And God prescribes, as I mentioned already, that it would be the fresh fruit of the vine, that it would not be fermented. Picturing again the pureness of Christ, the absolute sinlessness of his blood, of the sacrifice he made. His atonement was spotless, although it was for the greatest spots that we had made. Leviticus 17, the book of Leviticus, chapter 17 and verse 11, tells us, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." God said, I have given you the blood. Throughout the Old Testament, they brought a lamb as prescribed by God. There was a lamb. They were to look for a healthy lamb. A male of the first year was to be brought. And it was to be not one that was sickly or lame. It was to be a perfect lamb. Picturing again that Jesus was the perfect, sinless Savior. But that lamb, that sheep, was not the full atonement. It was just a covering, pointing forward to the real lamb that would come. To the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one who would not just temporarily cover man's sin, but would once for all take care of sin. He would die once. He would be sacrificed once. His blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat once. And sin would be covered forever for all those who would trust him. You see, the sacrifice that Jesus made, the blood he shed, has made atonement for the soul. Salvation is freely offered to whosoever will. No sinner too great, but the price has fully been paid. And so the Lord's Supper is a time for believers. It is a picture of the death of Jesus for our sin. These elements that Jesus chose, the unfermented bread and the unfermented fruit of the vine, are the pictures that remind us of his sinless, broken body and his blood that was shed for us. I want you to also recognize that it is a sober time. I wanted to share a couple of verses here. I had some verses further on the blood of Christ. Please just listen. Acts 20, verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God," listen, "to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Romans 5, 9, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Colossians 1, verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 John 1 and verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Revelation 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings under the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Wow. God says, I've given you the blood to make an atonement for the soul. It is a sober time. Over here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, it warns us, in the giving and the prescribing of the Lord's table, it says in verse 27, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And so it's a very serious time, a time of personal, careful examination. Examination. Let a man examine himself, it says here in verse 28. It's not something to participate in lightly. It's something that is serious. We need to take the price he paid for us seriously, soberly. And so the Bible says, let a man examine himself. Examine means to search carefully, to scrutinize, to investigate, to say, am I right with God? Why should we examine ourselves? Well, first of all, because the Scripture commands it. Secondly, because of the judgment that comes for those who carelessly partake. Because of the judgment against those who carelessly partake, we are to examine ourselves. First of all, am I saved? This is for believers. Have I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior? That's the first step. But secondly, am I in right fellowship with my Father, with my Heavenly Father? 1 John chapter 1 in verse 5 tells us, This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so it's important for us to consider whether we are in right fellowship with our Father. Has there been a hardening of our heart or a walking in ways of darkness? God says he cannot have fellowship unless we are walking in the light. And so we need to have a heart-searching time. Am I obedient to the Lord? Am I faithful in his word? Am I walking in prayer? Am I right with my spouse? Am I right with my parents? Am I right with the Lord? Do I have a right relationship with others? Notice 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. It says, He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother and is in darkness even until now. We can't harbor unforgiveness to another or disdain for another and be right with God. God says that if we have aught against our brother, we need to leave our gift at the altar and go and get right. And so we understand that it's a sober time, a checkup, an examination to make sure that we are in fellowship with the Lord and obedient to Him. Also, in the examination, we need to make sure that our attitude is right, that we are reverent towards God, respectful towards Him. God instructs in 1 Corinthians 11, notice in verse 33, He says, "Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another." It says in verse 34, "And if any man hunger, let him eat at home." This isn't a supper to fill our stomachs. It's not a time of feasting or eating to fill a hunger need. It's a time of reverence to God. And so God says, for those who are hungry, they need to eat elsewhere. But this is a time of holy remembrance. By the grace of God, we can be right with God and partake. That is God's desire, that we would be able to partake in this holy celebration. And so right now, we're going to take just a few moments for prayer, for silent prayer, with heads bowed, with eyes closed, just talking with the Lord and saying, "Lord, search my heart. Is there something I need to confess to you? Something that stubbornness, rebellion, pride that needs to be confessed?" The Apostle Paul wrote, and he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." That night he took the bread and he gave thanks. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us your Son. The Lord Jesus came to this earth, that little manger in Bethlehem. Lord, you gave us the gift of the Lord Jesus. But as special as that was, the cross was coming. And Lord, as it drew closer, I know that the weight of our sin weighed upon Jesus. And that night as he gave this Lord's table to this supper as a memorial, Lord, heavy on Jesus' heart was the price, the agony he was going to suffer. And thank you, Lord, for the price that Jesus paid, giving his life. And I pray that you would bless this as we celebrate together. In Jesus' name, amen.